Hey, good morning. I apologize. I was saying hi to Matt and just catching up with him. So I miss the, you know, the little sting, and then you're supposed to come on, and I'll say, oh, you know, we're...
Oh, yeah, the book guy, yeah, and the unpacking the books,
right,
and reading the books. And,
all that stuff.
You know, I don't unpack them. I don't read them. I just bring
you
them.
Read them?
I read them, yes. I'm
you
reading some
read
great
them.
Ones.
All right, let me just give you an official introduction, if okay. That's okay. And I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, but Matt's one of my favorite human beings on the planet. I always enjoy speaking to him. He's been with our show since the very, very beginning. We love having him here. And he is one of our booksellers who comes on every Tuesday to tell us great books that he's found. I think I've told the story pretty much every time that he's on. I'll tell it again. He comes up with books that you probably have never heard of. I know I never have heard that. And if you think of this, these are books that have never been heard of. About, and his mission is to change that, to make sure that you have heard about these very cool books. And good morning, sir. By the way, the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts.
That's right. You know, I think now I have to change the order that I was going to present the book, because I want to give you Lucia Berlin. Do you know her?
I do not. See? I don't. I need you to inform me of this.
Lucia Berlin's selected stories, the title of the selection of the collection is called A Manual for Cleaning Ladies.
A Manual for Cleaning Women.
Women, ladies.
Well, it says women there.
It does.
Yes.
The original edition, which I have here, which I want to tell you about, is A Manual for Cleaning Ladies.
Oh, isn't that
check this
interesting?
Out. So this is a brand new book, and they're hoping that maybe Lucia Berlin can now be appreciated by more than a couple thousand readers who have known about her since the 1980s.
So in other words, this, when you say it's a brand new book, this is a brand new collection,
of
work that has been done
over the years.
Over the years. Okay. She is no longer with us?
She died a couple of years ago.
2004. Okay.
Here is the first edition of A Manual for Cleaning Ladies. Check that out.
All right. Now, this is from the National Endowment for the Domestic Arts.
Arts.
This is a very antiqued...
this is a chapbook.
Old book. I don't know. And this, what did you date this as?
1978.
Wow. It looks a lot older than that, doesn't it?
Here's the envelope it came in. Look at the postage, 28 cents, first class mail.
And they mailed this. Did she mail this to you?
No, a colleague mailed this to me.
Okay. And this is A Manual for Cleaning Ladies. And these are this was a short story.
This is one short story. This is a beautiful, beautiful short story. I'm not going to give it away. I want you to come in and take a look at the book and read this story, the title story. This I've had on my shelf since 1978. I read this story, you know, once a year, once every couple of years.
Oh, just you just held on to it.
Oh yeah.
And then when the new book came out, you were all excited.
I was so excited because I didn't know the new book was coming. I missed it in the catalog. Somebody asked me for A Manual for Cleaning Ladies, and I said, "Well, I have that. I have it. I had it in another old edition, which is also out of print, Angel's Laundromat." So the point is, this is a writer whom I've known about for almost 40 years, and she's finally getting recognition now.
Okay,
and
she
it's
is
just
a,
lovely.
She is a short story writer. She is this particular collection, the new collection, which has been changed, I assume, for the times, A Manual for Cleaning Women, and
oh, right.
It is selected stories by Lucia Berlin, and the foreword is by one of our great short story writers, Lydia Davis.
Right, right. There's one short story in here by Lucia Berlin called Macadam, which is a Lydia Davis type of a short story. It's about two paragraphs long, maybe three. She went over Lydia's
word count and
right.
Some of that.
But they're beautiful. They like any short story collection, they cover all sorts of subjects. They cover all sorts of styles. Some are written first person. Some are third person. Some are memories. Some are fantasies. And the title story, as I say, is a story of a woman who cleans houses for a living. And she gives advice. She says, you know, some middle-class woman started the rumor that cleaning ladies steal, you know, from if you leave change in your ashtrays, they'll steal the change. And her solution, the narrator's solution, is to put a couple of pennies and maybe a couple of dimes. And what she steals are things that are, well, again, you'll have to read the story. I don't want to give anything away.
In Lydia Davis's foreword, she says, Lucia Berlin's stories are electric. They buzz and crackle as the live wires touch. And in response, the reader's mind, too, beguiled, enraptured, comes alive, all synapses firing. This is the way we like to be when we're reading, using our brains, feeling our hearts beat. Doesn't get much better than
Lydia knows of where she speaks. They had a correspondence. I think they never met, but they did have a correspondence.
So it is a manual for cleaning women, and the book is out from FSG. And if you want to see the, go to the store, and I'm sure Matt will show you the artifact.
This is a treat. This is always a treat.
Very cool. All right, what else do you have for us, sir?
The next guy we have, well, my old friend Patrick Modiano. I've talked about him before. He won the Nobel Prize in Literature last fall, and these are two new books of his. The books that I talked about a couple of months ago were Honeymoon and Missing Person and Suspended Sentences. Now he's come out, or now they've translated, and these are not new books. Well, one of them is new, but they're new translations into English. Pedigree is his memoir, is his autobiography. It's mostly a memoir of his parents. He was born in 1945 in Paris to a mother who was largely absent and a father who was a shadowy character who was somehow involved in the black market during the occupation. And Modiano knows and has memories of being shunted back and forth in various different houses all during his childhood after the war. And the characters, some are from his mother's, she was a circus performer and an actress. And the father was an importer, an exporter, a black market guy, a businessman, shadowy. All these characters he has vague memories of, and his Modiano's prose is, let me see if I can find what I wrote about him, shadowy.
Mm.
And it's all memory, and it's all dredged up memory, and it's all, did this really happen? In Missing Person, one of the other books, the narrator has amnesia, and he works for a detective agency, and he has to find out who he is. Let's see. The Huffington Post described his stories as forays into the shadowy atmosphere of ravaged memories. And if listeners will go online and look at something called The Complete Review by Mitya Orthoffer, who has given talks here at the bookstore in Lenox on translation, he writes a beautiful review of Pedigree, of this new memoir. So that's Pedigree, and translated by, who is it, Polizotti?
By Mark Polizotti.
Right, who also translated the Suspended Sentences, does a tremendous job of translating his work.
And then there's So You Don't Get Lost in the Neighborhood.
Is a new novel, a recent novel. I don't think it's brand new, but it's new in translation.
Just published in September of this year. So.
By Houghton Mifflin here in the States. And this is a guy, this is a classic Modiano character. This is not about the occupation. This is about current or contemporary neighborhood. He's a man who doesn't go out much. You don't know why, but he just doesn't go out much. One time he went out, guess what he loses? His address book. Somebody calls him, a stranger calls him, says, I found your address book. And I was looking through it, and there's this name. I'm interested in this name. The name is of a guy who the narrator, a French name, I can't really pronounce his name, Darange. Jacques Darange, had written about.
Sounds good to me, man.
You get the rolling R's.
Yeah, I'll go with it. Yeah, go with it.
And this guy doesn't, again, you have a narrator, just like in all of Modiano's books, who there's something that happened, and this guy, there's one guy who doesn't want to remember, and another guy who does want to find out what happened.
I just listen to this prose. He glided, swept along by a breeze and by his own weight. He bumped into pedestrians who were coming into the opposite direction and had not moved out of the way quickly enough as he passed by. He apologized. It was not his fault. Normally, he displayed far greater vigilance when he walked in the street, ready to change pavements if he saw someone in the distance whom he knew or who might accost him. He was aware that you very seldom met anyone you really wanted to meet twice or three times in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
So You Don't Get Lost in the Neighborhood is the new novel that's out by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt.
It is noir. It is French noir. And let's segue right into American noir. And this is Fast Shuffle, David Black.
Oh, David Black, yes.
Do you know David?
Yes.
Okay. Has he been on the show? I don't even know. So he was. We had a wonderful event for David this past Sunday.
That's great.
And a full house. And he told a great story about wanting to become a novelist in college. And his professor said, "Become a journalist. Then you can turn mirrors into windows."
Hmm.
And he became a journalist. He wrote for Rolling Stone, Harper's, Atlantic, and then he became a TV writer. This novel is a wonderful book, and he talks a little bit about it in the afterword, about why he wrote this book, and then he gives also in the afterword a synopsis of his career as a TV writer. And he said the TV was all that Hill Street Blues and Miami Vice and all these shows that I never saw because I didn't have TV were all these violent shows. This doesn't have that violence. And this is the story of a guy who thinks he's a private eye.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes everything into a mystery. He sees a guy walking down the street. The guy says, "You know, we don't know each other very well, but I can tell you're a man of mystery." "I am." He says, "Yeah, every night before you get into the garage, you stop by the florist shop. What's that about?" And the guy looks around and says, "Nobody knows this, but," and he tells him why. And then he walks home. The guy says to himself, "Oh, I'm a man of mystery." And Harry, who's playing Private Eye,
yeah,
has just elevated the guy. It's a wonderful, wonderful technique.
It's David Black, Fast Shuffle, and great stuff. Nice blurb from Carl Bernstein, some very good stuff. We have 2 minutes, so we have time for the final book.
Michelle Cuevas, local girl, grew up in the Berkshires, wrote a book called, well, no, she didn't write it. Jacques Pepier wrote a book called Confessions of an Imaginary Friend, as told to Michelle Cuevas. Jacques Pepier doesn't know he's imaginary. He overhears...
He doesn't.
He thinks everyone hates him. His parents, except his sister, his twin sister, and his parents. Everybody else just hates him. They don't pay any attention to him at all. He overhears his parents or his sister's parents talking about her imaginary friend. Well, he says to himself, "She has an imaginary friend, and she never told me?" And so he gets himself an imaginary friend to as revenge. And then he tells her, he says, "You know, I have my own imaginary friend." He just doesn't know he's the imaginary friend. So the parents have to set an extra place at the table, and they get tired of setting all these places for imaginary friends. Dad says, "You know, they're not real." The little girl has, at 10 years old, has an existential crisis. She hits herself over the head with a frying pan to find out if she's real. They take her to a psychiatrist. Guess who's at the psychiatrist's office? All the imaginary friends of all the kids. And they join a group called Imaginaries Anonymous. This is such a sweet book. And this is told in the voice, Joe, of, and you can imagine,
yes,
okay, of an imaginary friend.
Wow.
This prose, just read a couple of sentences. I don't think we'll have time on the air, but read a couple of sentences to yourself. And
oh,
come
this
in.
Is great.
We have plenty of signed copies left also.
So a memoir, and this is beautiful. Really gorgeous. A memoir of the imaginary friend, right, as told to the writer.
As told to the writer.
Great stuff. Well, you've proven my point, sir. You've proven my point. You bring out just cool, cool stuff that we've never heard of, and we thank you very much. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, visit them. They're at 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox. You can also find out the very cool events that they have there also, or you can find out the list and find out more by going to bookstoreinlenox.com, bookstoreinlenox.com. Matt Tannenbaum, always a pleasure. Love having you here.
Thanks, Joe. See you next time.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You're listening to The Roundtable.